We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed.
Please hang up, redial your call, and follow the menu prompts. If you are calling from a rotary phone and require operator assistance to complete your call, please hang up, dial 00, and say operator at the prompt. Please hang up now.
We're sorry. The number you have reached, 99.5 WBAI, is now off the hook.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi.
And out there in Skype land, we have Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
We have Gila.
Good evening.
And we have Alex.
You do. Good evening.
And tonight's an historic night because we are doing something we haven't done in almost 5 years. We're going to be taking phone calls. In just a couple of minutes, wait for us to give out the phone number, and you can talk to us live on the air, well, almost live on the air, and we can hear your happy voices for the first time in a long time. If you're a regular overtime caller, we ask that you not call because we have we've heard from you plenty over the past few years. We do an overtime segment that follows this show on YouTube. We're not doing it tonight, though. When we do a call-in show on WBAI, we don't do the overtime part. At least that's the rule as it stands right now. We have yet to do that. But we also have to remind people that WBAI is in the midst of a fund drive that will last till the end of the year. And you might have noticed we're doing a whole lot less as far as stopping everything to plead for money. Because we believe the programming is the most important part of the radio station. And we don't want to disrupt that. We want to keep the programming coming. So if what you hear over the next hour or so is something that you find entertaining, informative, enlightening, or even outrageous, I think that deserves some support so that we can continue doing things like that in the past and so that the hundreds of other people involved in WBAI volunteering their time can also have a stab at it and do all kinds of fun radio programming. The website is buddy.wbai.org. And what that is, BAI Buddy, is somebody who pledges a set amount every month, and that set amount adds up over the course of a year or more, and that is what keeps us going. It's very easy to do. You go to the website, buddy.wbai.org, and just follow the prompts there, and it's really easy. It's really awesome, and it's how you keep a radio station like WBAI on the air. We don't have commercials. We don't have sponsorships of corporate types and ExxonMobil and all sorts of horrible people coming in dictating what kind of programming we can have. Yeah. You know, I saw it today. It was the billionaire owner of the LA Times. Telling his staff, you know what, don't talk about Trump for a while. Just stop talking about him. I mean, it's that Jeff Bezos telling the people at the Washington Post that he wasn't going to allow them to endorse Kamala Harris. things like that, we're going to see more and more of it. We're going to see more and more intimidation tactics. We're going to see more fear. We're going to see more self-censorship and regular censorship as well, but not here at WBAI. Not here at WBAI, because we believe in free speech and we engage in free speech. You might not always like what you hear, but you will have the chance to voice your thoughts as well. And that's so important, to have that that back and forth dialogue and just to open up your eyes to something that might not be completely in line with your worldview or even with your local view. That's what a lot of media used to be like. Anyway, BAI is in the midst of a fundraiser, and the website is buddy.wbai.org. Please give generously so that we don't have to do this too many times. Again, the fundraiser lasts until the end of the year, and I think we're on New Year's Eve, so we'll be on the last day of the fundraiser. That'll be fun. I have a story I'd like to start off with before we get into the main thrust of the program. And this has to do with new incoming FCC chairman designate Brendan Carr, who I believe I called an idiot, not on this radio show, but on a different radio show. And the reason I called him an idiot, and I stand by this, was because he was one of the people calling for CBS to lose their license because they aired a 60 Minutes interview that was not favorable to Trump. Like I said, you're going to see a lot of this. Okay, so this he was just an FCC commissioner then. Now, of course, because he's an idiot, he's being promoted to be FCC chairman designate. I was, you know, wondering on the other radio show if it was wise for me to be referring to FCC commissioners and chairmen and people like that as idiots. But, you know, I think I am in the right to do this, because the evidence just it's too much. You can't ignore this. For instance, somebody on the FCC saying that CBS should lose its license, apparently unaware that CBS doesn't need a license. You don't need a license to have a network. You know, a network is simply a gathering of different entities. The people who need licenses are the people who run the TV stations and the radio stations. They need licenses. But what Trump and this FCC guy are talking about is basically denying the network a license, which you can't do. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, moving back to a different story. So new incoming FCC chairman designate Brendan Carr has told the American communication industry that his organization will soon embrace the new Trump administration promise to move towards protectionism and isolationism. Incoming international communications may be subject to a 25% tariff to protect American telephony and radio frequency communication industries from unfair trade practices. This move will be in addition to the general 25% tariff to be applied on all goods coming in from other countries, which will already increase the cost of communications equipment in the United States. A U.S. company expected to be a big winner from these changes is Motorola, and its stock price has moved up as of late. Analysts from J.P. Morgan Chase have warned that the increase in U.S. sales would most likely be offset by a decrease in offshore sales as the Trump-initiated world trade war spirals in months to come with expected retaliatory measures by other nations. Stakeholders that are not collecting fees per use for international communication will be subject to new license classes that will effectively pay the tariffs another way. Examples of these stakeholders are VoIP communication, television providers, and amateur radio. A new amateur radio license class, dubbed Extra Class Advanced Plus, will have a yearly fee in the $100 to $200 range that will allow operators to receive incoming signals from outside the United States. Carr, when asked about why this should benefit amateur radio, stated these protectionist changes should substantially decrease outside signals to the United States and bolster our internal communications industry and make American communications great again. It will be a great time to be in American communications. ARRL President Rick Roderick, K5UR, was asked for the ARRL response, and he replied in a written statement, "The American people, many of whom are amateur radio operators, spoke loud and clear in the November election embracing MAGA. Therefore, the ARRL will not stand in the way of the incoming administration's move towards minimizing ties with the rest of the world." And that story comes from the ham radio publication Dipole, the world's finest amateur radio news source. No thoughts at all.
I'm just struggling to compute a lot of that, you know, Increasing the license fees and such for American operators is supposed to decrease foreign signals coming into the country somehow.
It's very simple. It's very simple. If you receive a call from overseas, you have to pay a 25% tariff. I don't see what's so hard to understand about that. Okay, all right. Obviously, this is a parody type of article. It's not a parody publication. A Dipole is actually a publication online, but if anyone ever says that ham radio people don't have a sense of humor, well, I hold this up as evidence to the contrary.
Yeah, I agree. That was hilarious.
Yeah, you're rolling on the floor. I could see.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is ham humor?
Ham humor. Yeah, that's what it is. It exists, Kyle. It does.
Okay, I'm with it. Cool.
So, yeah, that's... but, you know, it's based on fact. And it's not that far from reality.
Well, I was starting to think, like, that's some pretty far-fetched, I don't know what you would do as far as controlling that, and I think that's the punchline, so.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really say this is an incoming signal from a different country, but if you could, they would be all over it. They would somehow manage to tax you on that.
It's pointing out how it isn't one-size-fits-all mm-hmm. for a lot of businesses or industries or people, mm-hmm. you know, connections that people already have.
True.
And it doesn't necessarily recognize the plurality, the mix of people that makes us who we are. I mean, that's something we should pride ourselves on. And without connections to those other places, there might be good things that occur in a case-by-case kind of situation, but writ large, is it really who we are to be that? I don't know. That to me, I would call it a question. I think that's a long argument that there's, you know, not nearly enough refreshments for.
This is a microcosm, I think, of what's going on in the country, throughout the world in general. So, yeah, that's a humorous way to start the program. Okay, maybe more humor, or definitely something that's got people concerned. I know, Alex, you had a personal experience with this, but of course, everybody and their brother are talking about, yeah, I use that phrase, they're talking about the drones in the sky and how much of a threat and a danger it is. And I don't know, you know, I have my own thoughts on this. Alex, you were actually driving through what you refer to as I believe the affected area, and tell us what you saw or tell us what you experienced.
I was. So Friday night, almost nearly all Friday nights, I try to leave the city, get out to Pennsylvania, to the Pocono Mountains, from where I've done the show many, many times, especially during the pandemic when we started overtime and whatnot. And so I'm driving out there, and to get to Pennsylvania, you have to go clear across northern Jersey.
No way around it.
There's really no way around it. That's right. Yeah. So you got to do it. You cut through. And I was saying to my wife and kids, and talking about the drones earlier in the day, that wouldn't it be interesting if we found a spot that was maybe off of I-80 on the way there where we could go and park, look at the sky, and see if we saw some drones flying around. And so we said, oh, we did some searching. We looked for things. We couldn't really find information about where the best drone viewing spot was, but it didn't really matter because I would say 10 to 15 minutes of driving west just outside of the city, we started seeing drones in the sky. We started seeing things. It was really extraordinary. And I see some skepticism on your face there about whether what I was seeing was a drone or not. But
I was drinking coffee. That's how I look when I drink coffee.
Is that right? Yes. These things were definitely drones. I mean, it was really extraordinary to watch the movements. You know, they were very clearly acting like drones. Some of them would just disappear from the sky. It was really distracting as well because your wife and your kids are pointing out where the drones are, and then this one disappeared, and this one's coming back over this way, and you're trying to stay on the road and not look out the window. And you know, it was actually really quite distracting. And there were a number of accidents, mostly going the other way, thankfully.
Doing this while they were driving?
I'm sure, but oh, I mean, you could very clearly see a plethora of these giant lights over in the sky that were moving in ways that planes would certainly not move. And they were all seemingly west and kind of out onto the horizon, and some of them would cross over the interstate as well, so some of them were closer. But the ones that we saw initially were pretty far out on the horizon. And then the other weird thing that occurred was when we got into Pennsylvania, we saw nothing. There were no more drones. It was almost like they were respecting state boundaries or something. But I have to say, I saw them. They were up there. It was weird. And we saw, in terms of quantity, I would say between 20 and 30 in a single night. It was something to behold.
Now, okay, you say that these clearly weren't planes. What tells you that specifically?
What tells you that these things are not planes are they have a different shape to them, number one. But the most dispositive factor in determining whether or not something is a plane is whether it moves like a plane. And these would move horizontally to the right and then stop and then move horizontally to the left. And it would go back and forth across the sky. Mm-hmm. In ways that a plane just wouldn't do.
Okay, fair enough. Now, you say the way they were shaped. You couldn't really see the shape of them, though. It was nighttime.
Well, it's difficult to see the exact outline of the body here, but you can tell when something is a plane when it's going overhead, and you can tell when something is not a plane when it's going overhead as well. These things were certainly not planes. They actually had more circular type of shapes in the sky than planes.
Okay. Now, you saw these because they were exhibiting the FAA-mandated lights that drones of a certain size are supposed to have, correct?
Well, quite possibly. But things that were not in compliance with the FAA rules in particular were the height at which these drones were flying. They were flying well over 400 feet in the air.
All right, I'm not familiar with what the exact regulations are as far as how high you can fly certain types of drones. I imagine there would be exceptions for law enforcement, military, that kind of thing. But how could you tell from the ground how high up they were?
Well, I couldn't tell exactly how high they were, but you can tell when something is 400 feet or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, these were very high up. They were certainly higher than any of my drones would fly.
And how many drones do you have, Alex?
We've got a couple small ones and then one pretty big one, but it wouldn't go. It certainly would not exhibit any kind of profile that would be akin to what I saw on I-80 on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was looking up in the sky the other day on Long Island, and I saw a light, and I said, hey, that's a drone. And then, you know, I was joking when I said it. But then the more it moved, you know, I couldn't make out what it was exactly. It seemed to be moving very slowly. And I never really figured out if it was a plane or a drone. But I do know that there are a lot of things up in the sky at any particular time. And whether it's a plane moving from a very high altitude that's not going exactly as fast as you might expect it to because of that, whether it's a satellite, which if you've never seen a satellite, believe me, they move in ways that you would not expect anything to move, and they suddenly disappear too as the reflection of the sun disappears on them. And then, of course, there are drones. And there are many, many drones out there. I mean, you know, we've all been buying drones over the past decade. You know, I don't know why people are surprised that there are drones up in the sky because, yeah, that's what people do with them. But it's not just people. It's not just hobbyists. It's all kinds of agencies. I mean, you know, you saw the opening of the Olympics in China a few years ago, and they had a whole bunch of drones spelling out words and things in the sky. You know, there are those kind of drones. There are movie-making drones that film companies have that are used for establishing shots. I think the only thing that really is different now is that people are looking up. And I think, you know, the fact that this started in New Jersey, and then as soon as the story was reported, it was in Virginia and New York and Connecticut and all these other places. If you were up to something, if you were doing something nefarious, I just don't think you would expand when attention started to move towards you. I think we're seeing or hearing more of these reports because people are looking up in the sky not knowing what it is they're seeing. I'm not saying that's the case with you. What you say sounds like drones. But do you have a theory as to what these drones might be?
I think there's a lot of theories, but I think the problem with every single theory is that it is contradicted by certain facts that we also know. I mean, I think this theory that the drones may be government-based drones or operated by the government looking for some kind of radiological material sounds plausible to me in some ways, and that would explain why the government can definitively say to the public, without lying to the public, that these drones are not a threat, but would withhold other information about the book. But then what doesn't make sense about that particular theory, which otherwise would check all of the boxes, is that if you were looking for radiological materials that may have somehow entered into the United States and could be used in something really bad, why would you only look for that at night? Wouldn't you have drones running around all day and all night looking for these things?
How many people are looking up in the daytime looking for drones? And can you see drones that are at that height that aren't flashing lights?
That's a good question. I think you probably would, given that these drones are 8 feet wide or the size of SUVs. You know, if you imagine Jeep Cherokees or something flying through the sky in the middle of the day, that would probably alert some attention. So I think that theory doesn't hold up. Another theory that I thought about was, if you accept the fact that these were found, or rather seen, initially near the Picatinny military installation in New Jersey, if that was the actual target of some kind of foreign adversary that was collecting intelligence about that particular military installation, and that adversary realized that it was caught, perhaps what it then tried to do in covering up its tracks would be to just send out drones everywhere so that you couldn't really figure out what it was targeting if the drones were going everywhere. It might have been looking at the Picatinny military installation. There may be other targets in or around New Jersey or around Boston or Virginia, and it's just sending out lots of drones because at that point you don't know what the actual target is.
If I were an adversary about to be caught, my reaction would not be to do it more. It would be to take down the drone that's flying and hide. I mean, wouldn't that be the logical choice of somebody up to something?
Well, maybe, but it would depend on what kind of adversary you were and your resources and how important it was for you to be able to collect intelligence on any particular target in this near future.
And also, if it was an adversary, why in God's name are they using FAA-compliant lights?
I have no idea about that, but maybe it's – I mean, I think there's a number of explanations for that. But the point of this theory is that the drones would be part of distorting the signal to ratio – the signal to noise ratio so that it would be very, very difficult to assess what the adversary was actually looking for or looking at any particular moment.
Well, okay. I want to continue this conversation, but I also want to open up the phone lines, which we'll do in just a minute. But I just wanted to ask you if you've noticed this, because this is something that's been bothering me from the beginning when all these reports started coming out. In New York, they were blaming Kathy Hochul for not being upfront. They were blaming Governor Murphy in New Jersey. They were blaming Governor Shapiro in Pennsylvania. These are all Democratic governors. And when they were done blaming them, they went on to Biden and the feds. There are a lot of Republican governors. Never seen one of them get blamed for withholding any information. I have noticed that virtually all the reporting that I'm seeing on this comes from Fox. And I'm seeing people who basically buy into right-wing propaganda really jumping on this. Look, the other day, I turned on CNN. They were talking about a school shooting. I turned on MSNBC. They were talking about Syria. Turned on Fox, they were nonstop talking about drones. Why do you think that is? So, you know, I think what we're seeing here is, and I'm not discounting the fact that there are strange things in the sky. I've never discounted that. But I think we're seeing a push to make people as suspicious as possible of Democratic leaders of one sort or another. And it basically, as Trump is coming in, saying the exact same things, I just feel there's a lot of manipulation going on here, and it's a little worrisome. I'm seeing congressmen saying that the FBI is not being honest, exactly the same things that Trump has been saying for a while, and would make it a lot easier to take action that weakens who they are and basically makes people not want to trust anybody who is a Democrat. But that is what I'm seeing from looking at the media. It's not necessarily what I would see if I was looking at the skies. Rob, I'm going to give out the phone number, and then we'll go over to you in a moment. So, folks, if you want to call up and join the conversation here on WBAI, which we have not done in about 5 years, there's a special number for you to call. And again, I ask people who have not people who have called overtime in the past few months, please let people who are listening to the radio station have a chance. We only have one line. And if you call while somebody else is on the radio, you might get a voicemail recording. If you get that, hang up, try calling again, because we won't be able to get you if you're at that stage. The phone number is area code 802-321-4225. Yeah, it's the area code for Vermont. We're not in Vermont, and it shouldn't be a long-distance call anymore. But 802-321-4225. 4225, by the way, spells hack. So 802-321-HACK. Go ahead, Rob.
Talking about the reaction to the drones, whatever the media is doing, it's certainly getting people whipped up into a froth in to the point that over the past week, there have been multiple reports of airplanes in the area getting lasered as people shine lasers at things in the sky they don't understand. And it turns out in many cases, these are your standard airplanes, which shining lasers at them is actually a hideously dangerous thing to do. It can blind pilots. It can cause all sorts of trouble. 404 Media has recordings of air traffic control conversations about it. There are multiple stories on NJ.com of this happening over the New Jersey area. And yeah, people are freaking out. Let's just remind people, don't point lasers up at aircraft.
No, people are acting like dumbasses, and that's the inevitable outcome of this. They're pointing lasers. People, even Trump is talking about shooting them out of the sky. People are getting into car accidents looking at whatever is up in the sky. One New Jersey mayor is telling firefighters to wear hazmat suits if they find a drone on the ground. I mean, there is just so much hysteria and craziness here. And you have to ask yourself, you know, if you listen to the responses that have been given so far, that they're looking into these things and they haven't found any threats so far, it never satisfies the people that are asking the questions. I don't know what they want. They want to hear that it is a threat to them. But if they have looked into it, looked into what they know about, because it's impossible to have somebody investigate the drone that you see because they're not standing next to you when you see it, I don't know what people expect as far as what kind of answer they're going to get. Gila, and then we'll take the phone call. Go ahead.
I do also kind of understand this as the end result of the whole anti-vax, do your own research, QAnon, pizza parlor, all of that. If I can't see it, I don't believe it. And also, I am oddly impressed that people are assuming that this is not, they're not immediately jumping to aliens.
Oh, they did that. They did that. There was a jump to aliens for a little while.
But, you know, that's not really happening. And I personally would have assumed that that's where we would have landed, and so to speak. But yeah, I think it's this whole do your own research thing writ large. Now, unfortunately, everybody's deputizing themselves to get things out of the sky when they don't know what's going on, to our detriment, I think.
Wasn't it a former Maryland governor who pointed out the constellation Orion and was reporting that? yeah, planets, stars, all kinds of things being reported. Okay, we are going to go to our first call. And caller, please tell us your name and where you're from. Just your first name. Thank you. Go ahead. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from Jersey City.
Okay.
And I think that, please forgive me, but your guest doesn't seem to have many answers when you ask. I mean, he doesn't know how far 400 feet are. There's a lot of speculation. I haven't heard of any car accidents. I'm not saying that there aren't, but it all seems to be reminiscent of Chicken Little. However, I do have a serious question to ask, and that is, where is NORAD? I mean, don't we still have NORAD? I remember during 9/11 that when those planes were up in the sky that, albeit too late, we deployed NORAD. So if this is such a concern to the federal government and to the government in general, why, and it's near bases, military bases, where is NORAD? That's what I would like to know.
Good question, and we will answer it on the radio. Thanks for your call. Anyone want to take that? Go ahead, Alex.
Sure. I can talk a little bit about this, too. I think this is an interesting issue that the caller brings up, despite him attacking my speculation on the elevation or altitude of these particular drones. But in any event, there is actually, I think, a legal problem that pertains to how the whole system is set up here. In that after the Civil War, there was a law passed called the Posse Comitatus Act, and that prevented the federal government from utilizing military resources to enforce domestic policy. This was part of Reconstruction. This is, what, 148 maybe or so years ago this law has been on the books, but it prevents the Department of Defense and others from doing things within the United States that would enforce the policies of other agencies, and it prevents them from having any real authority to do very much outside of a military base or outside of DOD facilities. So that legal separation of powers and resources between the Department of Defense and domestic policy may be the reason why a lot of this, why we don't see the federal government being able to interact and get a lot of information and utilize resources like NORAD.
Okay, we're going to move on to another call. Good evening. You're on WBAI. Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hi, where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm calling from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Go ahead.
Yeah. I got Windows 10 on my computers, and I've been notified that Windows 10 will be phasing out, and everybody will have to go to Windows 11. And but my computer is saying that they don't have enough space. I don't have enough space on my RAMs to accept Windows 11.
Let me ask you a question. Are you happy with your computer as it is now?
Well, it works, yeah. But if they're not going to be sending out updates for Windows 10, then will that leave me vulnerable for a virus?
No, not necessarily. It depends on what you do. You're always vulnerable for a virus if you open attachments that are unknown or go to suspicious websites or things like that. The updates are good, but sometimes they cause problems too. I have a couple of machines that are still running Windows 7. In fact, if you must know, I have a computer that's running Windows XP and even one that's running 3.1. But that's, you know, that's kind of crazy. The point is, you can hold on to your Windows 10 machine. They advise you to move on to another one so they can either sell you another computer or, you know, another OS. But if your computer won't handle 11, then stick with 10. Just, you know, be careful about what you do. You will still get urgent security updates because I still see those coming in for Windows 7. They'll try to scare you, but if you're happy with your system the way it is, there's no reason to jump at their command. Kyle, Kyle, you want to add something? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just reiterate, I mean, that's a good strategy. I'd also, like, hold out maybe and get a separate machine that runs it if you want to test it out, and then basically run the two alongside one another so that ultimately maybe if your Windows 10 machine isn't keeping up, you just sort of take it offline and just use it to move files to, like, external drives so you got your, like, little backup scheme going. And then maybe you start using for more complex things the newer system if you like it, but don't feel rushed, and definitely work on a scheme to preserve your files any way it goes.
Yeah, always keep backups. Very important. Rob, final word on this.
You do have almost another year of security updates for Windows 10. The announced end of life date for Windows 10 is October 14th, 2025. So, October of next year is when you're going to be in a more serious situation regarding vulnerabilities.
Yeah, but you know, he will still get urgent updates because, as I said, they're still coming in for Windows 7. Thank you for that call. We're going to move on to the next one. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. Talking about drones and basically anything else that comes up in the world of technology. And, boy, we're sure getting a lot of calls. Let's take this one. Good evening. You're on WBAI. Where are you calling from?
Oh, yes. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
And where are you calling from?
Actually, I reside in the Bronx.
Okay.
Parkchester.
Great. What's on your mind?
Currently. Yeah, it's the whole thing with the whole drone thing, man. Those things have evolved, man. Because I remember, they were like, they were sold like in hobby stores. Because I've seen a young kid with one, And that thing, they can fly pretty high, man.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, like 22 stories high. And that was about, I think, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I know those things, that they've evolved so much, man.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like incredibly capable. And a lot of the technologies around the components, I'm talking about like the motors that are used, the battery store, like power storage, the amount of power and the weight of that is getting better. It's just improving. And then, of course, the circuitry is ever more capable. You might have a certain weight class of drone, but the amount of things it's capable of doing with less weight altogether keeps compounding in interesting ways, and people are able to do all kinds of ever more complex things with them as they become sort of a sensing platform and all sorts of different things.
Well, I want to make one more statement, and I'm not free of the party because they're both corrupt in their own ways. But one thing I'm hoping Trump does, I hope Trump gets rid of Plaid. I'm not sure if you know about Plaid.
No,
they're infiltrating the whole banking industry, man.
How do you spell that?
Sign up for Plaid. Plaid.
Like Plaid.
It's like a service.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, you know, when you sign up for like a bank account online and you want to add an external account, Plaid comes up, and then they want you to put your username and password, which I don't know how they were able to get approved to do that, because that's pertinent information, and no one should ever have to do that.
Uh-huh.
And it's every freaking last one of them. PayPal is the only one that they don't use Plaid. They do not use Plaid. PNC Bank.
It's really called Plaid, like you've been Plaid.
Yeah, because I'm going by how it's spelled, like the vowels and stuff. You got the A and the I, but it's just pronounced flat. Then
okay.
I guess that's how it's pronounced. But I'm just hoping, because they did say Trump said, you know, Trump, you know, he was hell bent on like deregulating the banks and stuff. But yeah. That's what he needs to do, because Plaid is how did they? It's not just, it's this whole with Google and all all the the web, how the web is now. As opposed to when it came out, like for instance, you make a payment, right, online with your credit, your bank card. Google asks you if you want to save it, like Google Pay.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the information truncated?
Yeah,
like
well, I mean, their reasoning is it makes your life easier, and just why don't you save everything with us? But I hear your point, and it's a very good one, and we are going to look into this. We're going to ask around and report anything back on the show. Thank you so much for your call. We're going to move on to other phone calls. 802-321-4225. Go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, like the companies themselves keep like going way out of their lane. They're mm-hmm. Like, it's not their traditional business. It's not what they were like. It's like all the way out of it. And it's like, yeah, cause we're dabbling in payment systems. And because that's what the tech industry is defined as, like big players is now innovating in or whatever, but it's all of them being territorial and trying to outdo one another.
Let's take our next call. And good evening. You're on WBAI. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Queens. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
My question is about a show. I don't remember if it was this show or the other show. About 8 to 10 years ago, I think you were doing a fund drive, and you said, if I get this donation, I don't remember what the number was, I will espouse some position that is contrary. Well, I forgot how you worded it, but you said, I would just take some random position or something. I don't remember if it was something you would come up with or something the person who donated would come up with. But I always wondered, what you ever did with that? Did that ever happen?
Well, boy, that doesn't narrow it down much. I was doing a fundraiser. Okay, that's so many programs right there. But I would espouse. Are you saying that I was saying if somebody pledged a certain amount, I would turn conservative or something? Is something like that?
Something like that on some topic, you would start talking about it like you were
It sounds like,
right?
Something I would do. I just don't remember when I did it.
Yeah, it did come up. I think it's come up a couple times, maybe more than once is what I'm thinking. But We did not meet whatever threshold, so we did not announce it. It did not move ahead. It had it, I think, then it would have probably taken
place. Look, if somebody donates $1,000 to the station, I could go all Trump for an hour, but who would that serve, really? You know, it would be, I'd feel horrible about myself. I wouldn't make any of the listeners happy. And no, it's just, it's so wrong. It's so wrong.
Yeah, you could just make AI do it.
Anyway. 8 to 10 years ago was such a more innocent time. But what can I say about that? Anything else, caller?
So it never happened?
I'm sure it happened. I just, you can search our archives. Every show is online, so you can search for a keyword or something.
You weren't gonna say what topic it was. I'm not gonna go through every episode and be like, that doesn't sound like him.
Yeah, I wish I could be more helpful, but I forget what I say. An hour from now.
Yeah.
It's true.
All right, that was all.
All right, thanks for your call. And thanks for listening. And again, let me remind people who are listening to pledge to the radio station. Keep that tradition going because, as you know, we have all kinds of fun with the way things are expressed and the news and all sorts of things like that. Go to buddy.wbai.org. Pledge a certain amount every month, and you can help keep this amazing radio station going. As you can see, we have so many people out there who are listening, and for the first time in 5 years, and I'm so sorry for the delay, we're able to take phone calls now. It's because of Kyle's wizardry setting up a studio remotely that we're able to do this again. And boy, technology has advanced so much in the past few years. So we're able to do everything we could do in the studio at remote studios. Good evening. You're on WBAI. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Manhattan.
Manhattan. What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to Trump ramble on about something the other day, taking credit for the $35.
Taking credit for
the drone.
I'm sorry. You faded out. You said taking credit for the $35 something?
Yeah, he was taking credit for the $35 insulin that Biden had on.
Are you kidding? How is he taking credit for that?
Quote, well, they'll try to take credit for it, but we did it, unquote, is what he said. But the reason I'm bringing up, as he was rambling, he brought up the drones. And he said, well, I hear that they're drones, and they're flying around Bedminster. Mm-hmm. I should be a little concerned. I mean, that's where I am. But, well, maybe I just won't go and spend the night there. He didn't. Then he said, well, the government said I don't have anything to worry about, so I guess I should believe the government. When does he ever talk like that? I'm bringing this up because you said that Fox is doing drones, CNN is doing something else, MSNBC is doing something else worldwide, but only Fox is doing drones. So why is he giving out that bizarre message? Well, I hear they're at Bedminster. I guess I should be concerned, but government said I don't have to worry, but maybe I shouldn't spend the night there tonight.
Well, it sounds to me like he might have been sarcastic. And by the way, when I say the other networks weren't doing drones, they're all doing drones. It's just Fox is doing nonstop drones. They are obsessed with this. But what Trump has been saying is, we should shoot them out of the sky, which is the dumbest thing ever. Just like that balloon that was over the country a few years ago, shooting that over a populated area would be catastrophic. But if it keeps them out of Jersey, maybe these aren't such a bad thing.
Maybe. Anyway, I just wanted to put those 2 cents in because, he has to put his finger in everything and muddy up the waters.
It's going to be one rough ride ahead, but I think we will all have fun together with this.
I just discovered you tonight, so if this is your hour, I'll be listening to you later.
Every week. Thank you for calling. Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome.
Bye-bye.
Hear that? Brand new listener. Go ahead, Alex.
And a listener from Manhattan, I appreciate that, my own borough here. I mean, I will say on the subject of drones and what Trump said, though, I think it was the government that might have told him to stay away from Bedminster anyway because of all the drones. And I will tell you, I mean, it felt like I was at some kind of David Guetta concert when I was – there were so many drones just flying around the sky. It was totally nuts.
Well, there is an app which I suggest you get for your phone.
Radar?
It's called Drone Scanner.
No.
And every drone is required to transmit its identity. Now, I have not heard any indication that these drones are not transmitting their identity because everybody who's talking about this on television doesn't seem to mention that there are apps that can read these identities. So if they don't even know how to use the app, looking at a drone up there saying that that's a drone, you could find out who owns it and where it's from. Most likely, I mean, if they have the lights, they probably have the legal ID that's required. Kyle, you know what I'm saying about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great great idea is like, let's tool up here, you know, let's get serious. Just speculating and all that. No, like we shouldn't act as though there aren't ways to decipher the mysteries of the sky instead of, you know, just speaking about it anecdotally. And I think that's a brilliant thing to do, is look for some of the technologies. We have talked a lot about different platforms and different things that electronics can do now. You can make your own antenna.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of kits. There's all kinds of giveaways. People have the tools and things. You can build your own thing to sense stuff. You know, whatever kind of thing you're trying to look for, let's be a little bit more analytical is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We have a call.
We have a call. That's what I want to say, that when you look up in the sky, you know, there are a lot of things up there. And like last night, for instance, was a really clear sky. And, you know, I was looking at what I thought was Jupiter, but it turned out to be Sirius. And I felt like an idiot, you know, mistaking a planet for a star. It's possible to mistake a plane for a drone and vice versa and not know what a satellite is. I think, you know, if we look at the sky more, we'll see more things. That's certainly not a bad thing. But let's hold off on the panic until we know what it is we're talking about. Alex, quickly, we have another call.
I just wanted to say, surely you can't be serious.
Don't call me Shirley. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. You're on Off the Hook and WBAI. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? Jerry from Long Island. I spoke to you guys on the other channel the other day.
Okay, technically you shouldn't be calling, but that's okay. We'll give an exception to you. Go ahead. Make it quick.
I remember that. I'm sorry. Yeah, real quick. Wasn't there another company that was trying to force, you know, the big major drone company out of business so they could sell their, you know, higher priced American drones? Maybe they have something to do with it?
I don't know. Maybe. That's certainly a possibility. This is some kind of power play to get dominance. Who knows?
We need to know more from that community, people that follow it, people that are, you know, up to speed on that stuff, because it is an entire industry and there's such a wide variety of stuff. Anyway,
yeah.
Thanks a lot for the observation.
Our phone lines are open, 802-321-4225, and we only have time for a couple more calls. Anybody in the studio have anything they wish to – oh, not too late. The calls are coming in already. We have a lot of calls. It's been a long time since we did this. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook on WBAI. Where are you calling from?
Queens, New York.
Queens. Another Queens call.
My name is Barbara.
Barbara, how you doing?
I'm fine. I'm an old lady who doesn't know anything technological, but seems to me that they were talking a lot about delivering things via drones to rural areas.
Yes.
Maybe not such. And couldn't Amazon be given a permission by the FAA or whatever to have a trial run about not banging into each other? How many could you have in the air? In other words, to research.
Uh-huh.
And to deliver merchandise in the future, how complicated would that be? How dangerous would that be? And just allow them, yeah, especially around Christmas time, you can only tell the children, oh, it's the elves coming with your toys, you know?
Yeah, Barbara, no, I've seen advertisements on TV for Amazon delivering things by drone. So I don't even know, are they doing that yet? Or is that just a projection into the future? That could definitely be happening. They could be testing them. There are so many drones out there that, you know, it's anything is entirely possible, and most of it is not nefarious.
Like some grid that they could be allowed a certain area, like you said, they stopped at the border between Pennsylvania and Jersey. And so that it's like a contained area,
mm-hmm.
that they could actually be following. They know the numbers of the drone. They know how
sure.
close they could. Can they detect each other? How advanced are they?
Kind of like shipping lanes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But I mean, for a lot. For the future, of course, you know, the mm-hmm. whole continent.
Well, Barbara, you've given us a lot to think about, and don't sell yourself short. You know a good amount about technology just by putting forth good theories. So keep looking at the skies, and hopefully we talk to you again.
Follow the money.
Follow the money, exactly. All right, we have time for one more phone call, 802-321-4225. It's been a packed switchboard all night long, which is great. And we're going to do this again real soon. Probably once a month, I'd say, we'll be able to take phone calls on the show like this. So 802-321-4225, we have time for one more phone call. Anyone in the studio have something to say? Yeah, Alex.
I'm just waiting for a call from Staten Island, because we've had the other boroughs. We've had Jersey, Long Island. I mean, we would get the whole set if someone from Staten calls.
Uh-huh. Well, this is the moment, so we'll see if that's in fact what happened. And good evening. You're on WBAI. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Jeff from the Long Island Expressway.
Jeff from the Long Island... What? That's your home turf, the Long Island Expressway.
Okay. Oh, but you asked where I'm calling from. I'm calling you from the Long Island Expressway.
Well, yeah, but you could...
Well, we should call it the Long Island Parkway because it never friggin' moves anymore.
Well, what part of the expressway are you on? Are you in Queens? Are you in Nassau? Are you in Suffolk?
I'm over in Queens right now.
Okay.
I'm heading east, so, you know, it's slow going, as anybody that drives on this godforsaken road knows that it's always is.
Well, you have the last word, so make it quick.
Yeah. So I've been listening to you guys' show for a lot of years, and I appreciate it. I like the call. I don't never remember any of your names, so forgive me for what I'm about to say, which is the lady that was speaking from your group today.
That would be Gila.
Right. So she said something during her part that you guys all at some point or another say that always just kind of irks me a little bit. Which is, you kind of deride the whole, like, do your research thing. You guys are a hacker show. And the whole point is that the reason why people like me listen to your show is because you don't take anything that's ever established to be thing. You know, mm-hmm. Like, you don't ever trust the establishment on anything. And I don't care what it is. And, I mean, I'm way in a, you know, in the kook zone when it comes to that, where pretty much... If I hear it coming from something that's an official source, I always have to question it because
of course,
you know, they
yeah.
always have another
Listen,
agenda.
We are out of time, but I just want to address that because, yes, we always question what we are told by any authority. Any good journalist would do that. But I think the difference, what we're deriding here, is when people don't accept answers that make sense and just continue to say, do your own research after the research has already been done over and over and over again and the facts have been proven. Do your own research, but also listen to the facts and use logic and realize it's not always going to go the way you want it to go, the way you expect it to go, and prepare to learn something. I'd love to talk about this more. Next time we do this, please call earlier so we can have this this conversation in more detail. We are out of time. I just want to reach out to people and say if you've enjoyed what you heard over the past hour, please go to buddy.wbai.org and support this radio station so that we can do this again in the future. And write to us too, oth@2600.com. That is our email address. And please keep listening to WBAI for all kinds of other stimulating programming that will keep you engaged and thinking. And that's what it's all about. Oh, I wish we could do this for longer, but we're out of time. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
There's a lot of talk these days around our little town about some folks who came along and thought they'd settle down. Everyone's complaining, but I think it's great. It's been years since we had someone new to hate. They're wearing horn-rimmed glasses and guayabara shirts. They're taking yoga classes and relaxing till it hurts. They're opening new restaurants and vintage record stores. I swear that all this culture's quite a bore. So let's all hate on hipsters, 'cause we were so much better in our day. Didn't drink no kettle tonic, didn't say things all ironic, not that we'd remember. Instead of pickup trucks, they don't use computers, they got phones for all that stuff. They do all kinds of things that people never do around here, like drinking tea and Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. So let's all hate on the hipsters, 'cause no one here's as cool as they seem. And nothing is more fun than feeling better than someone and stomping down somebody else's dream. Up the old factory district and made a shopping mall out of Skid Row. The bowling alley's busier than it's been in years. You can finally get a decent cup of Joe. So let's all hate on the hipsters, though they have. wear no goofy hats, didn't